Thanks for listening to our podcast. We've got more information and additional resources at probe.org/podcast. And be sure to check out our life-changing Summer Mind Games Camp for high school and college students.
If you're going to communicate the gospel clearly, Kirby Anderson helps you to understand the worldviews of your listeners. Now on Probe.
You know, if you grew up in a small town, you probably had limited exposure to other worldviews. You might know a few people that were Catholics or Mormons, but frankly, they probably never shared their worldview with you. But most people had the following answers to some of these basic worldview questions. Who is God? Well, God is the creator and sustainer of the universe. What about man? Well, mankind is separated from God's provision by our sin nature. What about salvation? Well, Jesus Christ is God's answer to our desperate need, offering redemption through faith in Him. Those who have put their faith in Jesus will go to heaven, others will be relegated to hell. And what about history? Well, history is a linear progression culminating in the creation of a new heavens and a new earth. You know, living near large cities over the last number of years, I think all of us perhaps have seen a mix of worldviews change. For example, we might come into contact with Muslims, Baha'is, atheists, and others. And in sharing Christ with them, we can't always appeal to Bible stories they learned as a child. So, in a sense, we have to deal with how they process what they hear through a worldview filter. You know, the Apostle Paul was very much aware of worldview filters as well. He preached the gospel, for example, in a Jewish synagogue, in a marketplace to common Greek views, as well as to Greek philosophers, creating new worldviews. You know, in each environment, he preached the same truth about our need for Jesus, but his starting point made sense to the audience he was speaking to. In Athens, for example, he drew their attention to an idol to the unknown God and quoted a saying by one of their prophets. Was he doing this because the idol and the quote were distinctly Christian? Well, no. He was bridging the worldview divide between their thought patterns and those of Judaism. You know, having done that, he finished by saying God is now declaring that all people everywhere should repent. He has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. You know, sharing effectively with different worldviews means sharing in a way that makes sense from their worldview perspective. This week, we want to really talk about some of these different perspectives, and we want to shake up their worldview and be able to communicate with them in a significant way. So this week, we'll look at four different worldviews: Islam, Hindu, Mormon, and popular postmoderns.
You've been listening to Probe with your host, Kirby Anderson. To share your faith more effectively, get your copy of Crossing the Worldview Divide, written by Steve Cable. Go to probe.org/radio. That's probe.org/radio. And join us next time as we help you to think and live biblically here on Probe.
You know, Islam is the world's second largest religion with about 1.5 billion adherents. In America, there are over 2.6 million Muslims. And that accounts for about 3 or 4% of the population in metropolitan areas. How can I share Christ with my Muslim acquaintances in a way that they understand? Well, first, we need to understand how their worldview differs and what communication issues might come into play. Consider the four worldview topics we introduced before. What about God? Well, Muslims believe that a transcendent, unknowable Allah created the universe and mankind. What about human beings? Although weak and prone to error, human beings are basically good and fully capable of obeying Allah. What about salvation? Well, a Muslim must do good works to earn heaven, including the five pillars of Islam, reciting the creed, daily prayers, giving alms, a pilgrimage to Mecca, and fasting during Ramadan. And what about history? Well, time is linear with a progression towards the fulfillment of what Allah wills. The key differences between our worldviews lies in the way of redemption, by faith through God's grace, or a reward for our good works. How can we share effectively with our Muslim acquaintances? Well, first, some important issues and confusing terms may sidetrack your discussion. These include, for example, conversion will result in the expulsion from family and society and sometimes death. Most Muslims will not enter into a conversation if they know its intent is conversion. Jesus is God's son. Muslims are told that Christians worship three gods. Belittling Muhammad will offend most Muslims, causing them to cease listening and quoting from the New Testament, which they believe has been corrupted. So let's be clear. At some time, you do need to address the Trinity, the role of Muhammad as a false prophet, and the veracity of Scripture. But first, you need to be able to communicate the gospel to them in a way that they will be able to hear it. Begin by praying for your Muslim acquaintances who are captive to powerful social ties. God has been working in powerful ways, preparing Muslims to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then start your conversation with their most important need. Ask them, how can you be sure you have done enough to get into heaven? Listen to their thoughts on this important question. Point out the gospels say that we are to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Are they good enough? Only through the death that Jesus paid on the cross can we indeed have eternal life. You know, Hinduism is the world's third largest religion with about 900 million adherents. There are only about 1.2 million Hindus in the United States, but in major urban areas, they make up close to maybe about 2% of the population. Now, how does a Hindu answer the four basic worldview questions introduced earlier? First of all, what about God? Well, the Hindu believes that the universe is eternal and the concept of an impersonal God is contained in the universe. What about man? Well, our current state of suffering is a temporary illusion and our goal is to merge into the Brahman, the God nature of the universe. What about salvation? Well, the answer is to live a life so that we will merge with Brahman at death. Unfortunately, the vast majority will be reincarnated to suffer again as another living creature. And what about history? Well, the universe is eternal and history repeats itself cyclically. Salvation for a Hindu is to reach a state where they no longer exist, being integrated into the universal God. Mankind faces a problem being born into a world full of suffering and hardship. So for Hindus, there are three paths that could lead them out of this situation into oneness. One, by performing appropriate good works. Two, by reaching a state of knowledge, piercing through the deception. And three, devoting oneself to a service of one of the many gods. So how can I share with a Hindu in a way that clearly explains the gospel in the context of their worldview? Well, first, in sharing that Jesus is the Son of God who lived on earth, they will agree with you wholeheartedly. This is the response you can oftentimes receive from other Hindus. After all, they have many other forms of God, so they can certainly accept that. So you can begin by asking this question. What if there were only one God who existed outside his creation? We are not created to merge back into God, but rather to be able to exist with and to worship our Creator. Our Creator does not want us to worship other gods, which we have made up to satisfy our desire to understand the world. If you cannot get a Hindu to understand this basic premise, then other things you tell them about the gospel will be misinterpreted by their existing worldview. Also, agree with them about the problem of this world can be seen in the suffering on this planet. Man has tried for thousands of years, and yet the pain and suffering continue. We can never do enough in this life through good works, special knowledge, or serving false gods to bridge the gap back to God. God was the only one who can fix this problem, and it cost him great anguish to achieve this through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, there are about 15 million Mormons worldwide, with almost half in the United States. The U.S. population has remained fairly constant over the last few decades. Through their young missionary teams, many Americans have been exposed to the evangelistic message of Mormonism. Mormon beliefs are confusing. The Mormon president can introduce a new doctrine which may conflict with prior doctrine. The statements, though, below actually represent our understanding of the current Orthodox Mormon position on four worldview questions. First, what about God? Well, Mormons believe that God was once a man like us and ascended to godhood. What about man? Well, men are born in sin, but have the potential to become gods in their own right. What about salvation? Well, salvation comes from faith in Jesus and performing good works. The good works pay back Jesus for the price he paid. Jesus was born to God and one of his spirit wives. And what about history? Well, Mormons believe it is linear, leading to a day when they could be gods ruling their own planets. Clearly, there are major differences between the beliefs of Mormons and Christians. There are terms and concepts you need to watch out for that will be misinterpreted. When you rely, for example, on the Bible, you will need to be aware that anything that doesn't agree will then be countered with the Book of Mormon or the Pearl of Great Price. As you begin, you may want to point out that the Bible was written between 2,000 and 4,000 years ago and has been consistently supported by archaeological findings, while the Book of Mormon, written 175 years ago, has no historical or archaeological support. Now, when talking about God the Father, Jesus, Satan, and man, be sure to make it clear that God and Jesus are one of being, a transcendent God of the universe, that Satan is a created angelic being, and that men are different from the angels. A Mormon may tend to group all four of those things together. Now, when sharing with a Mormon, ask them to consider how good one would have to be to earn their way into eternal life. After all, Jesus said, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." If you can admit you are not perfect, then the only way to redemption is through God's grace. Some of them may feel that in the matters of the church, they are keeping their faith in a sinless manner. What if a future president changes some criteria of behavior so that you can now have been sinning for years? Does it make sense that God's criteria for righteousness should change? You know, postmoderns may not seem as exotic as some other world religions, but they make up the largest segment of non-Christians in today's America. A Christian believes absolute truth comes from Jesus Christ. A postmodern believes that absolute truth, if it even exists at all, is impossible to find. Oddly enough, they do seem to take a position on each of the four worldview questions. First of all, what about God? Even though we can't really know, we probably evolved from nothing over millions of years. What about man? Well, humans are shaped by their society defining what is good and bad for them. What about salvation? Each group has their own less than true answer that helps them through the hard times. And what about history? Well, history is probably linear, moving forward to whatever happens next, but there is no grand plan behind it. You know, it's hard to present Jesus Christ to someone who denies our ability to know absolute truth. Dave Kinneman writes, "Even if you are able to weave a compelling logical argument, young people will nod, smile, and ignore you." As one postmodern said, "I don't really believe in all that rationality. I don't think that's the only way to find truth." Now, to share with them, we need to develop their trust, be their friend, possibly invite them to serve alongside us in ministering to the needs of others. The postmodern should be interested in your personal story, the thing important to you, but don't fall into the traditional trap or rut. I was bad, I was saved, now I'm wonderful. Make it real by sharing real issues you've had to deal with. Convey the gospel message in a winsome way, emphasizing Jesus' concern for the marginalized around him. Drew Dyke points out, "We're not interested in a philosophical proof for God's existence or in the case for the resurrection." Now, you would share with them why you are compelled to commit to a universal truth. Saying it doesn't matter is basically giving up on eternity. Admit that claiming to know the truth about God, creation, and eternity is crazy from man's perspective. It is only true because it has been revealed by God. Well, this week we've taken a brief look at four distinct worldviews that are different from a Christian worldview and from each other. I think a simple understanding of those worldviews helps us to bridge the gap from their fundamental misunderstanding to faith in Christ. Only God working through the Holy Spirit can bring them to true faith, but we can play an important role in making the gospel understandable when filtered through their worldview.